From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Nearly 2.5 years since the coronavirus pandemic started, health officials around the world say the most infectious and the most transmissible variant yet has arrived. So joining us today to talk more about this and what this means is Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Now remember, if you have questions about COVID, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Welcome to the program, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
So, Dr. Pate, I believe just yesterday, the World Health Organization's Emergency Committee said that COVID-19 remains a public health emergency of international concern. Now, we should note, this is the highest level of alert that they first declared on January 20th of 2020. And they're putting this out because they say there is, we're seeing more cases, we're seeing ongoing viral mutation, and increasing pressure on already overstretched health systems. So Dr. Pate, talk to us about this announcement from the World Health Organization and what that means, because let's be honest, a lot of people have moved on and believe this is just done or this is just the way we're going to live.
Yeah, well, that's true, Gemma. I think the World Health Organization made a good call here. If you, despite what a lot of the public thinks, the World Health Organization should be making decisions based on sound public health principles. And if you look at what is happening, we are having the fastest rate of development of new variants that we've had during the entire pandemic. And unlike what some people say, they're not in all cases getting quote unquote milder. And so it is from a public health standpoint, it is very concerning that we have so much disease transmission, because that is what is setting us up for more variants. It's also very concerning that the variants we're currently dealing with are, they continue to gain in transmissibility, which means that your chances of getting infected if you are in high-risk situations is going up considerably. And, you know, at this point, we're dealing with the most immune evasive variant that we've dealt with so far. That doesn't mean that it completely gets around immunity. However, It just means that whatever immunity you do have, whether it was induced by infection or induced by a vaccine, it's not as strong as it was to previous variants. So I think this was a good call. We need to keep the focus up on trying to control that dissemination of the virus. We need to keep the pressure up on trying to get people, especially in other countries that are willing to get vaccinated, but just don't have the resources. We need to get more and more people vaccinated so we decrease the rate of new variants.
Right, because on the same day that the World Health Organization made this declaration, this announcement, health experts are saying that in Europe, the Omicron subvariants are powering a spike. They're seeing about a 25% increase. And so when we look at what's happening in Europe, and we know that in the US, this new variant is now the dominant variant. What does that mean as we move through these next couple of weeks?
You know, it's a good question, Gemma. We can certainly make some educated guesses based on what's happening in other countries. And that's what I often do is we've been fortunate that with almost every variant, they occurred elsewhere before they occurred here. And so we could start to get some information by just observing what was happening in other countries. It's not a perfect analogy. Countries vary in the percentages of people vaccinated, the percentage of people with boosters, their overall health characteristics and the average age, and the percentage of the population that's been previously infected. So it's not a perfect analogy, but it's the best we have. And I think BA5 is concerning. I don't think it's going to be the worst wave we've ever had, but I think people are downplaying it significantly. And I think from what we can see in some of these European countries, that's a little bit foolhardy. What we have seen, although I'm not trying to suggest that BA5 is necessarily any more able to cause severe disease than previous Omicron variants, there is some reason to be concerned it might be able to, but we don't know. But nevertheless, if you infect very large numbers of people, even if it can cause severe disease in a small percentage of those people, you're going to see more cases of severe disease because you've infected more people. And that's what seems to happen with Omicron, is it just infects a whole lot more people in a shorter amount of time than, say, for example, if we think back, most people tend to think that Delta, which was the last half of last year, that was the most severe one. But if you look at, the number of deaths in a far smaller period of time with Omicron, it's higher. That doesn't mean it caused more severe disease on an individual by individual case. But when you look at the population, we actually had more deaths during Omicron. So we should not take these for granted. If you're fully vaccinated and boosted, chances are you're going to do well. If you are previously infected and it was an infection this year, and you are relying on that, you have very little protection. And of course, Gemma, as we've often talked about, again, it's not just the issue of, are you going to get severely ill or die? We are increasingly becoming concerned about the long-term health consequences of infection. And now we have some recent data suggesting that really frequent infections, like getting infected with COVID 3 or 4 times a year, may not allow your body to recover and may be setting you up for some significant health issues. So there's just a lot that we just should not be complacent about.
Can we dive into that a little bit more? Because that is what is concerning to me, is this idea of being reinfected. I know people that is happening to, but what do we know about what these health concerns could be? But also, Dr. Pate, what information do we have if you are vaccinated and you continue to get reinfected?
So these are great questions. Let me kind of summarize what is the state of our thinking about reinfections, because we don't know all the answers to the questions you're asking. But when can you be reinfected? We used to say, the CDC set out criteria that we would not call it a reinfection if it was less than 90 days prior to a previous infection. We now know that it is, in fact, quite common to be reinfected in a shorter period of time than 90 days, really within a month's time, plus or minus a couple of weeks. So the first thing is, you can be reinfected soon after recovering from a prior infection. Number two, you are most likely to be reinfected when we have a new variant surging. So, for example, right now, we have BA5 surging. That's a new variant. So if you had BA2, BA1, or one of the prior ones, right now is the time that you are most at risk of being reinfected. And we know that if you had milder illness the last time you were infected, if you thought it was pretty mild, you have a higher statistical chance of being reinfected. We also know that if your prior infection was an Omicron, you know, BA1, BA1.1, BA2, BA2.12.1, you probably have little protection against BA5. So you have more risk of being reinfected. We also used to think that it was very unlikely that a reinfection would make you sicker than what you were the first time. We now know that's not the case. Certainly many people can be, but we now know that it is quite possible to be much sicker with a reinfection. And in fact, we have seen people that had relatively mild initial infections, but severe and ended up in the hospital with a reinfection or even died. And we have, I'm not ready to say this is 100% sure, but because I'd like to see some more studies, but we do have one study that has come out that has shown evidence to indicate that each time you get reinfected, your health risks are increasing more, so that it is worse to be reinfected twice than it is to be reinfected once. It's worse to be reinfected once than not to be reinfected, et cetera.
Okay. So Dr. Pate, we know that health experts in particular here in the United States are urging people, if they have not been vaccinated yet, to get vaccinated. If you have been vaccinated and you're not boosted, get boosted. Why is this so important right now?
I think that the major reason that this is critical to get vaccinated right now or update your vaccinations right now is that this virus is so much more transmissible. So, and at a time when our public, as you said in the last segment, Gemma, has pretty much concluded this is over with, and they're not limiting gatherings, they're not being careful about wearing masks. So your risks today are very, very much higher. Therefore, we certainly encourage people, just as you said, if you're not vaccinated, start getting vaccinated right now. If you're not boosted and you're eligible, get boosted right now. If you are eligible for the second booster and you haven't received it, get that right now. And I'm sure we'll, you know, talk about or get a question about, you know, timing. Should you get your second booster now or later? And we can discuss that, but get it now.
Okay. I do want to discuss that about whether you should get your booster now or wait for this new Omicron vaccine, because both Pfizer and Moderna say they're close to having it ready, and that it will be much more effective of a vaccine for the variants that we're seeing. So what should someone do in this situation right now, Dr. Pate? Did we lose Dr. Pate?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had my mute. You would think by now I would know how to do the mute button.
That's okay.
The mute button on.
Well, hey, you know what? At least it's the mute button and we didn't lose you, because live radio,
yeah,
you never know what's going to happen.
Well,
so,
that's
okay,
true.
So what should people do then?
So I think what it depends on is what is your particular circumstances. If you are at high risk because of a medical condition, I would say, and especially if you're over 60, slam dunk, get your second booster today, if you're eligible. Now, if you are over 65, even if you're in pretty good health, I'd get this the second booster. The tough call is if you're under that age, 60. So, we expect, we don't have a recommendation right now out for those under 50 to get the second booster, but we're expecting it's coming. And I think that in your question about, you know, should I get it now or should I wait for the fall? I think the problem is we have this BA.5 staring us down and increasing. And that's what I'm worried about. And my point of view is, you know, you do not want to get infected. There's, you may be fine if you get infected, but there's lots of bad things that can happen. So, and because of the fact that this can get around some of the immunity, you kind of really need that boost. Now, would a bivalent vaccine with Omicron be better? Yeah, it looks like that from the preliminary evidence, but the likelihood that we're going to have that booster before October, I think slim to none. And so here we are in July. Anybody who is at high risk or is really conscious about trying not to get infected, boy, I'd sure hate to tell you to wait 3 months to get that boost. So that's kind of how I look at it. The other problem is Congress has not approved funding for these new bivalent vaccines this fall. They may, they just haven't done so yet. So the Biden administration has scrambled and they're repurposing funds, but they're only able to buy 105 million doses of the new booster. And so, you know, I don't know what the interest is going to be in this new booster. I think it's going to be quite a bit. And I think especially if we have as big a surge as some of us are fearing might happen with BA.5, there's probably going to be a big run on it. So, you know, the problem is I can't guarantee, even if you want the new booster, that it's going to be there for you. Probably it means the administration is going to have to put some age limits so that if you are under 65, I think the chances that you would even qualify for it because of availability may be, it may be a problem. I don't know. We'll wait to see what Congress does.
Let's get to some questions, Dr. Pate. Kate just sent us this, and she says she's hoping we could discuss how effective the RAT tests and the PCR tests are in identifying Omicron subvariant BA.5 or BA.4. Kate says, are they as likely to catch these variants as they were early COVID infections?
Yeah, so far we're not having any problems. You know, the two tests, one is the PCR. That's the test that generally is done by a doctor or hospital, has to go to a lab and you don't get the result back for a day or two. That one, we still have no problem. That works fine. The RAT test that she's referring to, it goes by a lot of different names, but that's the rapid test that you can do at home. And and that one is still very good, but it is also, it's not that it's missing BA.5, but it really depends on your timing. And so a single test may give you a negative value even when you're still infected. And so really the best way on that test is you need to do some serial testing. Typically, the best time is within that 3 to 5 windows after you first get symptoms. If you get symptoms and you test right away and it's negative, don't put much stock in that. That it may just be too early, especially if you were previously vaccinated.
Mary writes in, she says, what are possible treatments if I have tested positive with a rapid COVID test? I'm over 75 years old with several underlying conditions. I've had all my vaccines, including 2 boosters. But are there possible treatments like antiviral pills, antibodies, things like that?
Yes. So there is, we do have both monoclonal antibody options, and we also have the antiviral options available. Most people will be most familiar with Paxlovid. We actually have other ones besides just that, but that's what most people probably have heard about, which is an oral pill that you can take by mouth. The antivirals are best used for those who are at high risk, that that your doctor is concerned that even though you may just be kind of mildly sick right now, you have a high risk that you might get really sick with this COVID infection and end up in the hospital. You're kind of the best candidate for the Paxlovid. And it really needs to be started no later than 5 days after the onset of your symptoms. 3 days is probably about perfect, but up to 5 days. So we kind of need to know if you're infected early enough to make that decision. The monoclonal antibodies are more difficult to administer. That's going to typically be in an infusion center or hospital setting. So that's not a pills that you can take. So those are both options.
Dr. Pate, Lynn wrote in. She says she's fully vaccinated, thrice boosted. She takes precautions. She still wears a mask in the grocery store. She says she's had the unfortunate luck to have contracted the virus twice. The first time was pre-vaccination. Her test was conducted at a testing site. The second time, she tested herself with an antigen test at home. Lynn says, I called Central District Health to report my case, and I was told we don't count those cases. So Lynn wants to know, are we trying to make the case numbers look better than they are? Are we trying to make our communities appear safer than they are? Is there a reason why Central District Health won't count my test? And are hospitalized cases the only ones that count anymore? I know there's a lot of questions.
Yeah. So no, there's a lot of political games going on with the Central District Health Board, but the Central District Health staff, the people that work there, very devoted, very committed to the science, and they very much want to do this the right way. In fact, I've just really been so impressed with both our state and the folks that work at our public health districts as to how dedicated and how many extra hours they put in to try to get all this right. The reason that they won't count that is because we cannot get a good measure of those tests. You are one of the extreme few people who are willing to report a case that they've done on their own. So if we were to include and say in the data, we're including rapid tests, it would really underestimate what the count is, because very few people will take the time or trouble that you did to report it. Therefore, it's just better to say, you know, we're not counting those. We're only counting the PCR tests. And the reason is because the labs that perform that, they are under obligation by law to report those. So we feel like we get a pretty good test result there. Now, there is one exception. If your doctor's office does the rapid test, the public health districts in the state do capture a lot of that information. So, I would not assign any bad motives to them at all. They're just trying to make this the best data possible. And then, Jim, I forgot the other part of the question.
She wants to know about hospitalized cases. Are hospitals the only ones counting anymore?
No. In fact, the vast majority of cases that are reported on the state health and welfare website, mm-hmm. or the public district health, those are mostly people that are not in the hospital but that have gone to a doctor's office or hospital or other healthcare professional for testing.
Okay. So another question coming in from Beth. She says, I tested positive with a home test last Saturday. My husband started having symptoms Monday, but his tests were negative until today, Wednesday. I'm on day 5. He's technically on day 1. My question is, do we need to still try to keep our distance from each other in the house? Is there a chance of him reinfecting me? We are both 60 and fully vaccinated and boosted.
Okay. And so, you know, this is giving a great example of a point I made in the last segment that, you know, if you test right at the onset of your symptoms, like her husband, it may be negative, but wait 2 or 3 days, and then it likely will turn positive, which is what happened in his case. So Ordinarily, I would say the answer to the question is no. You don't have to separate from each other since you both have it. There is a technical problem that right now we actually have about four different variants circulating. And so I can't say for sure that the variant you're infected with is the same as your husband. Chances are it is. What I would say is if either one of you has any kind of immunocompromised condition, that would be where I'd still want to take some precautions, because those that are immunocompromised can be infected with more than one variant at the same time. And that's where we can get into some certain problems that I won't speak about right now. So, but if you're both healthy otherwise, yeah, the chances are you've got the same thing. Chances are, you know, he got it from you or vice versa. And so I don't think you have to worry about separating. Although if you want to use the utmost caution, not a bad idea, just given we have so many different variants circulating right now.
And then Eric in Boise wrote in. He says, I'm vaccinated and I'm boosted. I contracted Omicron at the end of March of this year. Do I now have little or no immunity to the newer variant of Omicron? And I know we've touched on this a little bit before, Dr. Pate, but I mean, this is, I think this is what a lot of people are wondering, but also thinking, well, if I got Omicron, I'm good.
Yeah, unfortunately, getting Omicron is just not worth it. You just don't really get much benefit from it. The answer to his specific question, though, because he is fully vaccinated and boosted, is yes, he does have some protection against BA5. And that protection would be primarily against getting severely ill if he gets BA5. Unfortunately, he is going to be susceptible to infection with BA5. And it is somewhat reduced because he's vaccinated, but he just doesn't have as much protection from getting infected with BA5 as he would have had with previous variants we've dealt with. I still am glad that he's vaccinated and fully boosted, because that's if he does get infected with BA5, the chances are he is not going to get seriously ill. So that's good.
And Dr. Pate, where are we in regards to when we talk about boosters, the idea that people under 50 will be able to get that next booster? I know this is something that health officials are saying, you know, with these new subvariants, that everyone needs to be boosted, but there's, you know, but if you're under the age of 50, you can't get any more boosters than you already did.
Yeah. You know, if it was previous times, prior to 2020, I would say, you know, there's not much chance that's going to happen really soon. On the other hand, we're in a different world that, you know, under this and the prior administration, it appears that our health public health organizations, the FDA and CDC, are much more prone to influence from the White House. The White House has said they want to make this available. I would say that's going to be influential. I think it could happen soon. Previously, I don't think the White House saying something like that would make a difference. Since 2020, it does seem to make a difference. So I would just monitor the situation. I think we could get an announcement soon that it will be extended to those below 50, but we'll just have to see.
Okay. Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate you coming on and talking with us about this. I mean, in particular with, I think, where we are right now, having the most, you know, this variant that is evading a lot of immunity, that is the most contagious. And yet at the same time, we seem to be moving on from this, or at least the public does. And I get that there is fatigue there, and people just want to say, well, this is the new normal. With that said, Dr. Pate, I mean, best advice for people, because, you know, I know personally, I struggle with this now, having a kiddo about to start high school. And let me tell you, I was so thankful that he was the age he was when we were going through the midst of the lockdowns before vaccines. I can't get this kid to wear a mask to save my life now.
Well, understood. I think before everybody pronounces this the new normal, I just want you to keep in mind, we often don't know the long-term health consequences from a novel infection for years. So while you may think that you understand what is all involved if you get an infection with Omicron, let me explain that with me spending 6 to 8 hours reading everything I can about this, I'm guessing I know more about it than you do, and I have no idea. So I don't think you should be confident that this is actually what's going to reflect, because I think there's a lot of people that are going to find out that they wish they had taken more precautions. Best advice for right now, I'm not talking about shutting down, discontinuing your lives, being in a bubble. All I'm saying is when you're going to be out in a situation where there's a lot of people, you have to understand, when we're having a surge like this, you go into a big group, it is a statistical certainty that there's going to be a number of people in that room, and you're going to be at risk. So if you're going to be with a lot of people indoors, mask. It's not the end of the world to wear a time. Yeah, I don't like it, but I don't like long COVID much worse than I don't like wearing a mask. Just wear a mask for now. We'll get through this, and it won't be that long.
Well, right. And I think that's the point there, Dr. Pate, is like, if you are inside, if it's crowded, wear a mask. I mean, you're right. It's not a difficult thing to do. And hopefully people will take that advice.
I hope too.
All right. Well, as always, Dr. Pate, so great to have you on the show. Thank you for answering our questions, for keeping us informed on where we are. As always, every Wednesday, we've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Now, remember, if you have questions, email us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu, because we will be back here next week.